Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Leonard, and that's my college ID. I am 16 years old in that photo.
As a teenager, Leonard Hyman was excited to start college early. And the thing about college life he was most excited for?
I would finally be around other gay men and have a chance to date. But even though I was like academically ready to start college so young, I wasn't exactly emotionally ready. My first big crush freshman year was this guy named Danny. And he was so cute, and we would just like stay up all night in the freshman dorms talking about like communism and existentialism.
Despite their shared love of talking philosophy, there's one thing they didn't have in common.
He was straight. Okay, but so he didn't want to like be with me, but you know, I wanted to be with him all the time so we could be roommates. What? Okay, so fast forward to sophomore year, and we're roommates, and instead of making things better, they got a little more complicated.
From PRX and Radiotopia, I'm Neil, and this is Mortified. Today on the show, find out what happens when a romantically frustrated college student experiences emotional Armageddon. Then, later in the show, meet a middle schooler who falls for the star of Armageddon, years before he was famous. Once again, Leonard.
Dear Diary, I wish I fascinated Danny, but I don't. He watches shows like West Wing and Law and Order. And he checks out women. I'm turning into a seventh grader. September 9th. Danny came home drunk last night. So I said, "So now would be a good time to ask you to have a threesome?" "Who would be the third? Or a twosome?" He came into the room and flopped on his bed, so I just said, "I guess that's a no." And I dropped it. September 25th. Currently, Danny is fucking, sorry, he's actually just flirting with this girl, Lauren, on our living room couch. She's been here for like, what, 3 hours? And now they're alone, and Danny is giggling much too hard. And they're both sitting on the couch, and they both have their feet up on it. Meanwhile, I'm in here gagging on pheromones. and becoming oh so bitter, I'm thinking about masturbating. I'd like to finish my novel before I commit suicide. So then there's a few more updates after that. It's 2:15 now. They're still talking. They are just sitting there in each other's arms, holding each other. It's so beautiful. It's repulsive. Update number two. Now he's walking her home. Isn't that fucking sick? Update number three. Danny never came home. Update number four. Strike that, he's on the couch with a book on the coffee table. Dear diary, I haven't talked to Danny in a while, but I don't really feel I want to. His blind idealism annoys me, and it protects me to put that barrier there. But ultimately, he's a sweet kid, and maybe the first worthy of my feelings. The other thing is, I hate everyone when I'm not around them. I think part of it might be that I'm really trying to get into the character of my novel and succeeding by depressing myself. Even so, that doesn't alter the fact that all gay guys are annoying or stupid. October 4th, Lauren and Danny are outside enjoying each other's company. I applied to study abroad in Edinburgh next semester, and I'm thinking about it. I might not. I'd be braving it by myself, which doesn't scare me too much, and I do feel the need to get away. I haven't worked on my novel in a while. Partially schoolwork, partially writer's block. Mostly because it depresses me, I think. So this situation kind of, you know, started to wear on me. And the longer I lived with him, like, you know, our friendship shifted. It wasn't really like roommate. It was more like roommate neglected housewife. And so, this is from November 4th. Someone ate all my fucking brownies. I'm furious. Yesterday, I decided I wanted to eat brownies. So, I slave away over these brownies. For an hour or two, made from scratch, mind you, after having just been shopping forever. Then I went to the theater cast party, came back, and a couple of chunks were left. That's all. I thought about all the drastic things I could, should, would have done. Like throwing food off the balcony, turning on the light and interrogating the fornicating couple as to who the fuck ate all my brownies. I just left three signs saying just that in the kitchen. Oh, fury and anger. I'm surprised I could fall asleep given my anger at the unfathomable inconsideration I have to suffer here. I'm desperately trying to come up with some kind of rational explanation to justify their disappearance, but I can't. This is why anarchism is a piss poor system. Because it just exploits the able and the eager. I'm also desperately trying to figure out some way the villains could make it up to me, but to be honest, I don't think they can. I don't think even box brownies would suffice. Because not only were the brownies made from scratch, mind you, but they also had semi-sweet chocolates on top, fudge in them, far superior than the quality boxed brownies could ever hope to achieve. And it's a bit overdramatic, but I started thinking about suicide. And how I might try to find meaning in life, in religion or something. But shit like this would always happen. Still not getting laid. So this is the following morning. This morning, I got up and accosted Danny as to who the fuck ate all my brownies. Danny said they all had some, and he didn't know how many. He wasn't keeping track. Started getting angry at me as though I had been the one who ate all his fucking brownies. Danny is a fuckhead. And Lauren, as much as I would like to hate her, as a very decent person. Dear diary, Monday night I was having trouble sleeping, so I decided to talk to Danny, as in talk to Danny. After a lot of nervous laughing, I just asked, how would you respond if I told you I had a crush on you? How would I respond? This is purely hypothetical, right? He grinned, knowing it wasn't. I'd say that I'm sorry, but I'm not interested. He appreciates me as an intellectually, emotionally stimulating friend, but no more. We parted on those terms, friendly and amicable, me still lovesick in agony, and him still beautiful. So after a semester like that, I decided I needed to break up with him. But, you know, it's hard to dump someone who doesn't know that he's in a relationship. So I fled the country, is what I did. And I got accepted to Edinburgh and, much to my surprise, found something more stimulating than emotionally unavailable college boys. January 9th. As far as I'm concerned, Edinburgh is just a city full of pubs, cafes, and sandwich bars, all housed in gorgeous medieval buildings. Yesterday, I walked around for hours. Every 5 minutes, I swore I saw the most beautiful building I'd ever seen in my entire life, except for the one 5 minutes ago. I met this guy, Josh, who's gay, and I'm not sure what to make of that yet, except maybe we'll go clubbing. Or do gay stuff or something. I'm not thinking about Danny much, except to think about whether I'm thinking about Danny. And mostly not. Distance skews perception, but reunion is a long way off. And right now, he's got nothing on Edinburgh. Thank you.
That was Leonard Hyman at a Mortified event in Portland, Oregon.
Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com.
So my name is Lucia. I went to elementary school in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you very much. And when I was in the sixth grade, there was a special intensive studies program. And I wanted to check it out. I did not apply. There was a lengthy waitlist interview process. But one day I just decided to ride my bike across town and visit that school. And I liked it. And I went back the next day and the next day. And on the fourth day, the teacher said, "What is your deal?" And I said, "I go here now." And they just let me stay there. So these journal entries are from that year in that school. I had just turned 11, but I was under the delusion that I was some sort of soap opera character living a very dramatic life full of sex and violence. I watched a lot of General Hospital. And I seemed to have a lot of love-hate relationships with my best friend, Chris. And Ben Affleck happened to be in my sixth grade class. I loved him, but apparently hated his Jordache jeans. So Thursday, January 19th, 1984. I long for Jeff's strong body on top of mine as I once had. I like Ben now, his tough attitude and soft, kind emotion. I'm worried about Devin. She's in the eighth grade, and I think she likes Ben. She won't beat me up because I'm so much younger than her. John said something really nice to me today going to music on the stairs. He said, "I better watch my ass." I said, "If this keeps up, I'll have to watch more than my ass." He said not to worry, but I am worried. Chris is mad at me for telling Ben that we smoke, and she said I wrote on her locker and that I was talking about her, and I wasn't, not at all. I wouldn't, because she's my best friend. I don't know Devin, but I'm sure she doesn't deserve Ben like I do. I want him, need him, deserve him. He's so gorgeous. He's extremely important to me now. Friday, January 20th. Ben is like a total dream honey. What will he do if he tells that I smoke? My life will end. Zonk. I guess my only secret from my parents is cigarettes, and from my friends, nothing. I hate the way Mary shoots off her mouth like I was her slave. I should kick her ass. Thanks to Matt's advice, I could. Maybe I'll take self-defense. I'll kill people. Saturday, January 21st, 1984. Mary is such a fat bitch. But now for stuff everybody doesn't know. I want Ben badly. But I can't, I've more than yesterday, but I can't fight Devin. She's so much older than I am. I want Devin to do something stupid like kiss someone when Ben is around, and then he'll be depressed. I'm so dumb. I still regret telling Ben we smoke. The smartest thing to do is just to keep your trap shut, and I should have done that. I'm so dumb. Now the whole school knows Chris and I smoke, and they know that I like Ben, and Chris likes Eric, and still what we've got is another good excuse to pick on me, honestly. Monday, January 30th, 1984. I shouldn't flirt with Ben if he's going out with Devin. If he's not, he's mine, Jordache jeans and all. What could an eighth grader want with Ben? If she hurts him, I'll kill her. I swear, I'll make her cheeks so hot and red and wet, her mascara will be on her chin, and she'll be sorry she ever dumped Ben. Friday, April 6, 1984. Why does Ben wear Jordache jeans? They look so bad. I hate Ben. Devin never liked him, and Kibi's nice to me. I think she could be using me, but that's just a suspicion. Saturday, April 7th, 1984. I wonder if Chris loves Matt P or just wants quick experience. I envy her because she has someone to mess around with, and I have no one. Chris is always trying to put me on a guilt trip. Friday, April 15th, 1984 is when Fenway opens. And I can go to the ball game with my friends, and I'll enjoy that a lot. Making out in the bleachers, stuffing myself silly, and of course, watching the Boston Red Sox seriously fuck up. Chris and I are getting special cream to enlarge our tits. I'm so excited. Friday, April 26, 1984. I'm sorry I haven't written, but I've been busy. I discovered a way to get something for nothing. Stealing. Anyway, we got caught and I got grounded for a month. Forget that. Ooh. Saturday, April 28th, 1984. I need a cigarette so badly. All right, later. Bye. Later. I went down Matt Pilot's pants. It was up. Like, if he peed, it would have hit his chin. Matt Pilot is so cute. Sometimes I wonder how many insane people there are running free. How many molesters and murderers and rapists, hookers, thieves, and embezzlers running free. I know a few. Goodbye. Ciao, mama. I need some serious quick ass very badly. Sixth grade. I want to keep my virginity for a while, or until I seriously love the kid. Okay. May 8th, 1984. Kibi says, as soon as I stop paying her, I'm gonna get beat up by someone. Of course, she won't tell me who. I'm sure she's making it up, but just in case she's not, I'll keep her on. Bianca says she'll work for free, but I can't ask her to. Sunday, July 8th. Chris moved today. She's now in Kingston, New Hampshire. I miss her so much now that she's gone. I can't stop thinking about her and everything. Since I'm going to a different school next year, I'm changing my name to Christine. People can call me Chris, Christy, Kay, Chrissy, Kristen. I'm prepared. Night before last, I went to Natalia's birthday party. It was okay. We were all kissing Matt S. Not French, just kissing on the lips. Me and Tanya put our hands over his eyes, and he guessed who was best. He always said Lauren. Finally, Tanya said, let's French him. So everyone said I should because I had the most experience. Well, they were just chicken. So I did, and then Tanya told everyone that I'd never kissed anyone before. And that's bull, because I made out with Tanya. She's real gay. I was only gay sometimes. I think she has some sort of problem. I'm not gay. I love Richie. I slow danced with him 6 times on the last day of school. I'm gonna read you over. I might write more, I might not.
Lucia joined us on stage at a Mortified event in Oakland. And as a quick update, Lucia and Ben Affleck never did become an item. Alas, there was no makeout sessions or a wedding complete with matching Jordache. And saddest of all, while the world got to experience the glory that is Bennifer, we'll never know the glory of Lucia. And this concludes today's episode, where we learned life is filled with mysteries, but none more frustrating than
who the fuck ate all my brownies?
Everything shared on today's show was true. No embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And if you're craving more mortification, today's episode pairs really nicely with episode 60, I Have Bad Gaydar, and episode 108, The New Kid, which happens to feature other journal entries from Leonard Hyman. Find the full list at getmortified.com/podcasts. And did you know that we make stuff other than this podcast? We do. Visit getmortified.com to get your hands on great Mortified gifts, including our 3 books, official Mortified t-shirts, or even our super fun party game where you prompt friends to share their own childhood stories. And if you're a parent or educator, you've also made 2 seasons of a podcast for kids aged 9 to 13 called Ooh, You're in Trouble. They're filled with amazing stories designed to make kids laugh and think. For companies wishing to support our podcast while reaching kajillions of listeners with just remarkable taste, email sponsor radiotopia.fm. This series is a big team effort. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Hadley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Catcher. Some of the stories featured here were produced for the stage by Ann Jensen-Smith and Sarah Faith Alterman, who are just 2 of the many amazing producers whose work make this stage show possible. And credit music by Snake Snake Snakes. This has been a Mortified Media production for Radiotopia, a network from PRX. Till next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.